friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and Happy New Year. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Prince Nesta kicks off Monday's show with another spicy look at the weekend action in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka and Kieran Tierney scored first-half goals for Arsenal, and Alexandre Lacazette added two in the second half to give Mikel Arteta's Arsenal a 4-0 win at West Brom. The result sees Arsenal creep up to 11th place in the Premier League, while West Brom remain trapped in 19th place in the relegation zone. 3 goals in 16 scintillating minutes from Ike Gundogan, Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne ensured Manchester City breeze to a 3-1 win over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. English winger of Ghanaian descent Callum Hudson-Odoi secured an injury-time consolation goal, with the result leaving Blues 8th in the Premier League table, with just one win in their last 7 games. Here's Chelsea's team manager Frank Lampard's reaction on the match.
So 10 minutes we were good. I'm not claiming that because that's just the reality of the game. Then they started to play and then we conceded 2 really poor goals back-to-back in the game. And I felt it knocked us and I felt we didn't react as well as I wanted to. Against City, you have to accept periods of possession for them. That's what they do. And the chance they might score a goal. So we didn't react well to that. We knew they would play without a real striker, so we had to make sure that space wasn't there. We allowed the space for De Bruyne to get into the game and Silva and Gundogan when he gets the opportunity to shoot for the first one. So, yeah, serious lessons in the first half. Good character in the second half. But the game was done.
Frank Lampard is reportedly on thin ice at Chelsea, with reports suggesting that Blues owner Roman Abramovich is already looking at replacements for the young head coach. Lampard led Chelsea to a 4th-place finish last season in his first campaign at the helm, which was seen as a strong performance in a season that saw Chelsea hit with a transfer ban. On the other hand, Manchester City are now unbeaten in 7 games and are only 4 points behind leaders Liverpool and Manchester United, having played a game less. Leicester City have moved up to 3rd place in the English Premier League, with second-half goals by James Maddison and Youri Tielemans securing a 2-1 victory away at Newcastle United. Andy Carroll pulled one back for Newcastle, his first goal for the Magpies since Boxing Day in 2010. Harry Kane, Song Heung-min and Toby Alderweireld ensured Tottenham secured a comfortable 3-0 win over Leeds United, while goals from Antoine Martial and Bruno Fernandes ensured Manchester United kicked off the new year by underscoring their title credentials with a 2-1 victory over Aston Villa. Here's Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's thoughts on the match.
Well, we created chances. I think it's always going to be a physical game. We know that they've improved massively and they give us some challenges, and there was a few times in that box that you were a bit worried. We didn't stop the crosses well enough, because when they put crosses in the box, they're always dangerous. But we made some fantastic blocks, some saves, delighted with the 3 points, obviously.
That's Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his side cruised to victory away at Newcastle United. The Red Devils are now 10 games unbeaten in the Premier League and level on points with champions Liverpool, who they trailed by 9 points when they last tested defeat against Arsenal on November 1st. Liverpool travelled to Southampton on Monday, aiming to go 3 points clear at the top. Here are some head-to-head statistics. The odds tend to favour Liverpool a bit on this match. The Reds have won 6 consecutive Premier League matches against Southampton by an aggregate scoreline of 17 goals to 2. Southampton are also winless in 4 Premier League matches, failing to score in the last 3. To make it worse, the Saints have won just 1 of their last 15 Premier League games played on a Monday, drawing 7 and losing 7. The champions will be banking on the Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah, who has scored 7 goals in 6 Premier League game appearances against Southampton. New Paris Saint-Germain manager Mauricio Pochettino is relishing the opportunity to take charge of a star-studded squad and says he wants to win quote-unquote with style. The former Tottenham Hotspur boss was named head coach of PSG on Saturday, replacing Thomas Tuchel, who was sacked on Christmas Eve after a 4-0 victory over Racing Strasbourg as the side sat in third in the league. He is the Argentine manager who also played for PSG as a defender in the early 2000s and also captained the side.
Paris is one of the biggest clubs in the world. We are in a big club. We are in a massive club like Paris Saint-Germain that is not only important to win. It's win, but with the style. And I think all together, first with the player that are the most important actor. I think the player that have Paris Saint-Germain are players that are going to be protagonists, that love to play football and win and enjoy the game, that is very, very important.
The 48-year-old who has signed a deal until June 2022 also added that his first task would be to ensure everyone at the club work together.
The discipline is the most important, the respect, the friendship, not only the player, all the staff and the people that work and is involved in this training ground and in the stadium and when we travel. I think it's so important that all feel part of the project and the club. The principal objective is the club, is to achieve what the club won, that the player won, because the player want to win, want to lift trophies. We are here to try to help the club and the player to achieve what they won. And in the same time, we are helping us, of course, to achieve our objective too.
Pochettino took his first training session on Sunday ahead of his first game in charge, a trip to Saint-Etienne on Wednesday when the league resumes following the winter break. Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku scored another impressive goal as Inter Milan thrashed Crotone 6-2 in Serie A. The 27-year-old has been in fine goal-scoring form this season, having notched 15 goals in 17 appearances to help Inter maintain their position as title challengers. AC Milan stayed top in Serie A with a 2-0 win over mid-table Benevento, despite playing an hour man down and without injured star striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic. 5-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo overtook Pelé as the second highest goal scorer of all time with the Brentford Juventus, their 4-1 win against Udinese. The Portuguese forward scored his 757th and 758th goal of his illustrious career, with the goals coming in either half as Andrea Pirlo's side moved up to fifth in the Serie A table. Pele registered 757 goals during his career for Santos, New York Cosmos and Brazil between 1956 and 1977, but now sits third in the all-time list, with Ronaldo now one behind Joseph Bican's total of 759. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mićo-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo is only about 1 month away from his 36th birthday, but he says he hopes to play football for many more years.
It doesn't matter the age, to be honest. It's what for me is the most important is the mind. If you feel motivated, it doesn't matter. Cristiano now is good. I feel in a great moment, but I don't know tomorrow what's going to happen. I live the present, the moments. The moments is good. I feel happy. I feel still good, sharp, and, you know, in a good moment in my life. I hope to play many, many years more. But you never know. This is football. This is you. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. When I speak with the young boys, I'm always give advice to them that I say enjoy the moment, because We never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Something can happen in your life with your family. Enjoy the moment. So, but my goal and my eyes see the future very, very bright. So I'm happy with that.
Cristiano Ronaldo spoke at a recent award ceremony in Monaco, where he won the Golden Foot Trophy. The Juventus striker has scored 102 career goals for Portugal's national team. Ronaldo said his ultimate dream is to lift the World Cup trophy in Qatar in 2022, at which point he would be 37 years old.
Well, I'm always say that we want something very special, Euro Cup. We have to have the steps under the ground because we won 2016 and now we want to win the World Cup. It's possible, yes, it's possible. Everything is possible. But you have to be realistic as well. As I told you many, many times, my dream is to win something for Portugal national team, and I won both two titles, which is make me feel happy. I win every clubs that I played with. But World Cup, it's a dream. It's a dream. We never know. We will work on that. We know it's going to be very tough. But who knows? Let's see. We'll be tough, you know. But we are a good team. We are a young team. We have a fantastic coach. So we're very, very, very positive on that, to be honest. We don't know what's gonna happen. We have to think about our group, but I think we'll be good. We'll be good because our team it's better. We improve a lot. The young kids is becoming even better. So I'm very confident.
Ronaldo also admitted he does not enjoy playing in empty stadiums without fans during the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm honest with you. I don't like to play in the stadiums without the fans. It's like to go to the circus and to don't see clowns. This pandemic it's make people crazy. We have to deal with that. But I hope soon they can open the gates of the stadium. We have to live with that. We cannot avoid that this is going to stop one day to another day. You have to live with this. We have to try to do it a normal life. But, of course, we have to respect the rules. The rules is like that. But as I told you before, to play without the fans, I really don't like nothing.
That's Portugal and Juventus football star Cristiano Ronaldo speaking at the recent Golden Foot Awards ceremony in Monaco. And thanks to Golden Foot organizers for the Ronaldo audio. As Prince Nesta mentioned in his opening report, Ronaldo scored 2 goals Sunday. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have a package of African football news for us.
We begin with the first major football event on the African calendar for 2021. Which is the CAF organized CHAN 2021 tournament. Chipolopolo of Zambia kicked off their pre-total CHAN 2020 friendly series with a 3-3 draw against Niger on the 2nd of January in Yaoundé, Cameroon. Total CHAN 2020 host Cameroon are staging a 4-nation friendly tournament from the 1st to the 7th of January 2021 in Yaoundé, involving fellow finalists Uganda, Niger, and Zambia. Cameroon kicked off the tournament with a 1-1 draw against Uganda. Jonathan McKinstry is the Cranes of Uganda national team coach.
We're in a tough group. You know, football from all around Africa in terms of a derby with Rwanda to begin with. Obviously the champions, Morocco and Togo, will present, you know, a new challenge for the tournament. But, you know, we go in confident. We think we've got a really good group of players, young, energetic. And, yeah, for us it's about going out and showcasing the best that we have. And we believe if we do ourselves justice that we we can go deep into the tournament.
Total Jam 2020 will kick off on the 16th of January 2021 in Yaoundé, when Cameroon will face Zimbabwe in the opening match. Now to Southern Africa. After winning the COSAFA tournament last December in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, Mozambique Under-20 team started its preparation this week for the Total Under-20 African Cup of Nations Mauritania 2021. COSAFA Under-20 title was Mozambique's first international one, paving the way for their first ever Under-20 African appearance. Mozambique coach Diaro Montero called 35 players, including 5 new faces who did not take part in the COSAFA tournament, 4 of whom played in Portugal and 1 in Spain. Elsewhere in Italy, Napoli coach Gennaro Gattuso said on Sunday he felt foolish for giving Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen permission to travel home to Nigeria for Christmas, with a forward testing positive for coronavirus on his return. Victor Osimhen joined Napoli for a club record fee of up to $94.6 million last summer, but has not played since November 8th because of a shoulder injury. Victor Osimhen faces club sanctions after images of him partying without wearing a mask were shared on social media. But manager Gattuso said he also felt embarrassed for giving the 22-year-old permission to return to Africa. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda Cranes national team. 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, not only in Uganda and across Africa, but around the world, as we've had to come to terms with the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, with a vaccine being released across the globe, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel. But it's important that whilst that vaccine is rolled out, that we all remain steadfast and alert and adopt the guidelines that are being given out by the Ministry of Health and our various health authorities to make sure that we keep each other safe and we keep ourselves safe until we can get rid of this pandemic. Good luck and good health to everybody.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African club football, the Nigerian sides Enyimba and Rivers United will host decisive CAF tournament matches on Wednesday. Enyimba will play Al-Merrekh of Sudan in the CAF Champions League. Al-Merrekh won the first leg at home 3-0. And Rivers United is matched against Bloemfontein Celtic of South Africa in the CAF Confederation Cup. Rivers United scored a 2-0 road victory in the first leg. Will both Nigerian clubs advance to the next round? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to African football analyst Sammy Wajia.
I will have to say yes and no to that question, more from the perspective of Enyimba International, because they've played only one game in the Nigeria Professional Football League season. That was against Abia Warriors. They won that game by 1-0. Enyimba are not yet firing. They scored just one goal in one game in the Nigeria Professional Football League, and they need to score 4 times against, no disrespect to Abia Warriors, the team that Enyimba beat in the NPFL, but a better team that, compared to Abia Warriors, Al-Merrekh. And I don't think Enyimba can do that based on what we've seen from them this season. Enyimba have not scored more than 1 goal in any match this season. So I don't think Enyimba will qualify. And I don't think the Nigeria Professional Football League season, starting at the time that it did, is going to help Enyimba at all, because I think it might have just started probably a few weeks too late. For Rivers United, I think it's a different story because this is a team that made their own arrangements and forced their own luck. Rivers United were well prepared for this tournament. They played in lots of preseason tournaments before the CAF Confederation Cup got underway. The result is that Rivers United have won their last four games in all competitions, and in these four games, Rivers United have conceded only one goal. And I'm talking about two matches in the CAF Confederation Cup against Futuro Kings of Equatorial Guinea and Bloemfontein Celtic of South Africa. Rivers United have won two games in the Nigeria Professional Football League, one at home against Enugu Rangers, one of the traditional clubs in not just Nigerian, but African football, and against Abia Warriors in Aba, a very difficult ground to go to. So I think for Rivers United, yes, the league starting at the time that it did will really help their cause. I think they're overwhelming favorites to beat Bloemfontein Celtic in the second leg at the Adokia Mesimaka Stadium. I think Rivers United will qualify. But whether or not they go on to make a run in the CAF Confederation Cup because the Nigeria Professional Football League has commenced is another story entirely.
Two other clubs, Plateau United and Kano Pillars, lost in the first round of the same CAF Interclub competition. What went wrong?
Plateau United and Kano Pillars have been knocked out in the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup respectively. I'm going to start my post-mortem from the Plateau United camp. There are lots of stories about internal wranglings, infighting, and the club just not being properly prepared for the CAF Champions League, which is Africa's premier club competition. So it wasn't really much of a surprise when they were beaten in the first round of the preliminary stage at home in Jos by a well-drilled Tanzanian side, Simba FC. Yes, Plateau United sort of did well in the second leg of that tie. They went to Dar es Salaam and got a 0-0 result. Unfortunately, because they lost 1-0 in Jos, they got knocked out 1-0 on aggregate. So you could say Plateau United shot themselves in the foot because there have been lots of infighting, which was exemplified by the fact that they lost their opening game in the Nigeria Professional Football League just over a week ago to a side that probably could have gotten relegated in the Nigeria Professional Football League last season if the season had gone the whole hog. That's Kwara United, that is, beat Plateau United by 2-0 at their own stately patch in Jos. And a few hours later, players of Plateau United were placed on half salaries. So lots of stories about disharmony within the camp of Plateau United never really helped their cause in the running in the CAF Champions League. And for Kano Pillars, theirs weren't really as bad as the case of Plateau United, but they lost over two legs to a Senegalese club, ASC Giraffe. Kano Pillars started well in the first leg of that contest in Dakar. They took the lead early on, but then Giraffe stomped back and won that first leg by 3-1. Pillars drew 0-0 in the second leg at the Ahmadu Bello Stadium in Kaduna, and they got knocked out 3-1 on aggregate. Now, like I mentioned earlier, Pillars played the second leg of that contest at the Ahmadu Bello Stadium in Kaduna. That is not the traditional home ground of Kano Pillars. They usually play their home games at the Sani Abacha Stadium in Kano, but because that stadium is not up to the standard to be giving approval by the Confederation of African Football, they had to make that two-hour road trip to Kaduna to play in unfamiliar surroundings. And look, they were never really going to stand a chance against a well-drilled and traditional side on the continent like ASC Giraffe of Senegal.
With the commencement of the football season in Nigeria, do you think Nigerian clubs will do well in future inter-CAF club competitions?
I think both clubs have got varying chances of making progress in the competitions that they're both participating in. Enyimba International of Nigeria are one of two Nigerian clubs still left in the running in the CAF Champions League. They are going to face the Sudanese side, Al Merrikh FC, in a first leg, second round contest. In a first round, second leg contest at the Enyimba International Stadium Aba on Wednesday this week. I think Enyimba are virtually out of the competition because they made terrible mistakes in the first leg in Omdurman against the Sudanese side. Enyimba dominated for long stretches, but then they made key and elementary basic errors in three important moments in the game. They conceded three times, and incidentally, the three goals in that contest were scored by one man, Salf Eldin Malik. So what this means is that Enyimba International will have to score three times without reply in the second leg at the Enyimba International Stadium about to at least push this into penalties. If they want to win it outright, they have to score four times without reply. And look, I think that's not just a big ask, but I think an impossible ask to expect. So I think Enyimba are out of the competition. And that takes us to the next Nigerian club in the running in inter-CAF club competition, and that is Rivers United. They are one of two Nigerian clubs left in in the running in the CAF Confederation Cup. I do think that Rivers United have already put one foot in the next round. That's the playoff round of the CAF Confederation Cup, because they were absolutely peerless in Free State when they faced Bloemfontein Celtic, the South African side. Rivers United won that game by 2-0. So it means that Rivers United can afford to lose when they face this South African side at the Adokia Miesimaka Stadium in the second leg of this tie on Wednesday this week.
That's African football analyst Sammy Wejia. And Sammy was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sammy Wejia, Port Harcourt-based sports analyst. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Sammy, and Happy New Year. In National Basketball Association action Sunday, two-time League Most Valuable Player Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors put on a shooting show and turned in a career-high scoring performance. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Stephen Curry torched the Trailblazers for 62 points and leading the Warriors to a 137-122 victory. Curry had the highest scoring game in the NBA this season, finishing 18 for 31 and 8 of 16 on three-pointers after beginning with a 21-point first quarter.
It's just an opportunity to kind of assert my will on the game early and try to create some energy and, get off to the right foot.
He had his 10th career 30-point half to help the Warriors take a 66-54 lead at the break. Curry outscored Portland's starting backcourt. Damian Lillard finished with 32 points and C.J. McCollum had 28. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, Steph Curry's younger brother, Seth Curry of the Philadelphia 76ers, scored 21 points over the weekend in a 127-112 victory over the visiting Charlotte Hornets. Talk to us, Seth.
No, nothing different. Just getting good shots. And when I find good shots, I'm going to shoot them at this clip. So it's just a function of our offense, the way we're playing. Everybody's a threat out there. Everybody's touching the ball. Everybody's involved. And we got a lot of different layers to our offense, so we're tough to guard right now.
With more on Philadelphia's victory, here is the AP's Mike Reeves.
The 76ers down the Hornets 127-112 behind a triple-double from Ben Simmons, who scores 15 points, grabs 12 rebounds, and hands out 11 assists. Simmons likes what he's seeing from this 5-1 Philadelphia team.
We got a good group. The chemistry's good off the floor. It makes it even better when you're winning and playing the game the right way, sharing the ball. Guys aren't worried about who's scoring the ball as long as we're scoring and winning games. That's what it's all about for us. Now it goes to win a championship.
Tobias Harris scores 24 points and Joel Embiid adds 19 points and 14 rebounds for the Sixers. Terry Rozier nets 35 points for the Hornets, who have lost 12 straight to Philadelphia. I'm Mike Reeves.
Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's National Football League team, nicknamed the Eagles, did not fare as well over the weekend. The Eagles had their wings clipped by the Washington football team 20-14. With the victory, Washington won the NFC East Division title and will next host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on January 9th in the NFL playoffs. Once again, here is the AP's Dave Ferry.
The Washington football team claimed the NFC East title with a 2014 win at Philadelphia. Alex Smith threw two touchdown passes and was 22 of 32 for 162 yards and two interceptions. Smith threw a 13-yard TD pass to Logan Thomas in the second quarter to put Washington ahead for good. The go-ahead toss came after Jalen Hurts scored on a pair of 6-yard TD runs for the Eagles. Washington defensive end Montez Sweat said the entire season was a battle.
It's just a test to how much work we put in this offseason and how much adversity we had to overcome and how much we just kept on pushing. Even tonight, it wasn't easy.
Washington is the third team to win a division with a losing record, ending up 7-9. I'm Dave Ferry.
January 4th edition of the show, wishing all our Voice of America listeners a happy and healthy 2021. Thank you for for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.